anybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win? I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean. And hey, don't panic. I know our voices are super crisp and clear, but that's only because we're using the new microphones you guys helped pay for.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was going to make this big of a difference. And then it did.
Yeah. What do you know? Paying for high quality equipment makes for a more high quality show.
Amazing how that works.
I didn't believe it, but here, you know what? Here we are. Proof is in the pudding.
Science.
And what better way to kick it in than with an analysis of one of Kanye's most famous songs, Through the Wire?
Yeah, which was originally recorded as if using our initial equipment.
You know, I think Through the Wire kind of applies to the legacy of our show. We used to be in our infant stages. We used to think we were going to make a certain kind of podcast, and look at us now. We're making a podcast that's changing the world.
That's right. One Kanye song at a time, making people say, what? They really think that?
Yeah. This is going to be fun. I love Through the Wire. It's, again, one of those songs on College Dropout that achieves this indescribable high for me. Like the way the places like the production goes to and how vulnerable Kanye's being, it's the one that gives you chills.
Doing a lot of the stories that we've done where we've interviewed Kanye fans and asking them about when they first remember listening to Kanye's music or becoming a fan, so many, which surprised me, but so many were like Through the Wire. I remember hearing Through the Wire the first time when it came on the radio, and it just completely, they didn't use the word enraptured, but I'm going to say it completely enraptured them.
Yeah, and I think especially with the narrative we're building on the College Dropout and kind of discovering what the story is and what the threads are for Kanye as an artist, I can see why it carries that meaning for people. Like everything he has to go through to get through the wire, and then what he's going through within Through the Wire, all of it adds to this. It's so empowering to see somebody work through all of that and come out on top.
Well, just imagine being back in like 2003 listening to radio music, and then all of a sudden Through the Wire comes on, and you're hearing that Chaka Khan sample, and you're kind of like, what is this? And then Kanye just rapping about drinking a Boost for breakfast and an Ensure for dessert,
and you're hooked.
Like, yeah, it was so out of left field back then. And I often think about this song, weirdly enough, as being about 30 hours or being similar to 30 hours, and just both are very candid and very vulnerable in different ways. But I love just how, maybe it's because of the smoothie and thinking about the smoothie and Ensure.
That's definitely what you're thinking about.
Yeah, I connect those two songs. But
yeah, and he talks about making a movie of his wife, and he references Vanilla Sky in the song.
And what he talks about, Three Stacks, and then has the drums from Play As Well.
Wow. We were joking before, but kind of a lot of connections.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. And you talked about the narrative earlier, and that's one of the things that's cool to me about the power of Through the Wire, because the song in and of itself as just kind of this anthem for the spirit and this motivational song of like, yeah, I'm going to take it down to the wire, even through the fire, and be motivated and go get mine. That's fucking awesome on its own. But when you put it in the context of the story that's being told, and even if you don't know what the narrative is, like you haven't sat there and thought through it and been like, oh, this is the journey that the College Dropout Kanye character has gone on. There's just something about the feeling on the album that builds to Through the Wire that fits perfectly.
Totally.
It's just this climactic moment.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way about all of Kanye's albums, and this will sound insulting, but I think the fact that Kanye makes his story so simple and straightforward helps with that. It's weird to say that because a lot of people still miss the stories on his albums, and calling them straightforward is like disturbs to them because they're only straightforward in the sense that like he's using classic storytelling techniques, but he's doing it in these really weird and interesting ways. But yeah, it's the story he's built up to this point, like it's so familiar and just so inherent that you don't need to be thinking about it to understand the story that's going on. You just feel it.
Yeah, you get that sense early on of somebody outside of the industry, and then you get an idea of like there's some bullshit going on or some superficiality, because you just hear New Workout Plan or Slow Jams or Breathe In, Breathe Out, and you're like, okay, yeah, these aren't as serious as the previous songs, and they're definitely not as determined as Through the Wire.
Right.
There's just something about the determination of Through the Wire that really breaks through. And having a power that isn't there on Spaceship. Like, Spaceship is motivational, but it's also, like, very wishful and longing, especially in its soundscape still. Like, I'm just waiting on my spaceship. Like, one day we'll go, to get to the point where you're like, no, no. Like, through the fire, to the limit, to the wall, like, for a chance to be with you, I'd gladly risk it all. Like, a whole different attitude.
Yeah, and just really quick, you know, this narrative that we're talking about, it's mostly that, you know, the first three songs, We Don't Care, All Falls Down, and Spaceship are describing kind of feeling like you're in this low place, like you've been oppressed and you're looking to rise up. So we get songs like Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down, where you're ready to take on the world, and we see Kanye taking on the world. And those middle four songs of the album, Get 'Em High, New Workout Plan, Slow Jams, and Breathe In, Breathe Out. And where while he's trying to find his sound, we see him making more superficial songs. And as he calls it in Breathe In, Breathe Out, bullshit ice rap. And he discovers in School Spirit that he channels this new spirit and wants to start his own fraternity in a way, and realizes that, on Two Words, you know, I need to be a leader. I need to be making the kind of music that matters. And as we go from Two Words on through the rest of the album, we see him making that kind of music.
Yeah, this album, in a way, I mean, we talk about a lot of Kanye albums dealing with celebrity and his relationship with the music industry and the rap industry. This isn't very different from those, but there's something more so about like the actual making of music on this album and the story that plays more a part of the story than in other albums. In the other albums, more just how are people reacting to him rather than the music that he's making specifically. But in this, you actually have that middle portion that deals with, is this the kind of music I should be making? Like,
yeah. But even more than that is these last few songs where Kanye's really truly finding his sound, you know, finding how to get people's hands in the air, as he talks about, and Get 'Em High. You know, Two Words, it's so epic, kind of like Through the Wire, but it's in such a different way. Like, Two Words is all about how you fit into the world and mobilize change. The album is all about Kanye finding a sound and finding the kind of music that gets people going, and that really culminates on Two Words, where, you know, leaders like him and Mos Def, well, you know, Mos Def looks at it all from a societal standpoint, and Freeway looks at it from like an industry standpoint, and Kanye, in true Kanye fashion, looks at his leadership role in this internal way. And then we transition from that very broad perspective to something really specific. And that's how I think of the rest of this album. Like, it's very specific. It's not really like Two Words. And, you know, this is when I remember why I love Kanye, because even though Through the Wire is very internal, like Kanye's verse in Two Words, both songs approach that dynamic very different. Two Words is built to throughout the entire album. We see somebody who started in a low place, then entered the industry trying to rise other people out of that low place with them, and then yada yada, and then the result is a song like Two Words, where Kanye realizes the importance of his heightened position and why he needs to be more like Jay and Mos and Talib and Common. And so Two Words is all about exhibiting the behavior that gets people going, while Through the Wire is about finding that power from within, which is so fucking cool. It's a very specific scenario that bred Kanye to be the way he is. You know, it's like a superhero origin story. That's what Through the Wire is. Like, so many times in these superhero stories, they have to find the power to fight evil because of circumstances of in their own lives. It's crazy. That's what Connie's doing here.
Yeah, that macro and micro scenario, right? Like there's something macro that needs a hero, but then something micro that drives that hero to do something.
I love it.
And that dichotomy that you're talking about Kanye on Two Words dealing with the external versus Kanye in Through the Wire dealing with more of the internal or the macro and the micro reminds me of the dichotomy we talk about with Ye and Kids See Ghosts, where Ye is very much about the external and the relationship dynamics that Kanye has with other people based on what's going on inside of him. This bipolarness, whether you put bipolar in quotes or not, but the ramped up versus the controlled, the dark thoughts versus the beautiful thoughts. And then you have Kids See Ghost, which is really, 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 really internal focused, just dealing with not even the outside world almost ever, but more so just what are we feeling? How are we feeling it? How are we getting over it and getting through this stuff that could claim us? And rather finding empowerment through faith in God and through our own wanting to be better people.
Yeah, totally. That's actually a really good comparison because Ye and Kids See Ghost, along with having different stories, sound very different. And their stories are very dependent on the, you know, the noises Connie populates from the sound of the production he's using. And Kids See Ghost, it literally feels like you're walking through a graveyard sometimes. And again, that's what I love about Through the Wire. Like it carries such different energy to it from two, even though Two Words sounds epic, when you hear Through the Wire, when it starts, it feels like so much more immediate. Like it truly feels life or death. But it's entirely about Connie's ability to rise and capture the heightened status he wanted to achieve in Two Words. Like it really does carry you to a new place. And, you know, it almost reminds me of like what great speeches do, you know, like Lincoln and MLK and Obama, they mix this broad societal impact with the internal and they bring it home and they show you how someone rises out of a situation. So you could talk about all the change that needs to happen from a macro perspective, but then you have to motivate people to believe that they can play a part in all that. And you do that by building them up, by telling them a story about yourself that they can reflect back on them, by making their tiny, insignificant selves part of this bigger whole.
The self is a powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, it gets back to Kanye's whole, if you're a fan of me, you're not a fan of Kanye, you're a fan of yourself. It's all about empowering people. Kanye's whole plan is, by empowering myself, I empower you.
He's said that back then. He said it as recently as a few months ago.
Yeah.
So I want to reference real fast as we're setting up what the narrative on the album is and how it looks at his relationship with the music industry and this confidence that he was able to develop and finding his sound, so much so that the album ends with Last Call, where he recaps his entire journey from being outside the industry to entering into it, but not feeling like things were going how they should, to then eventually finding success, which is funny because he hadn't even released the album. It was already celebrating. but there's an interview that came out a few months later, and it was by this guy, Chris Campione. And he actually re-released the interview in 2013 on Sabotage Times. And he talks about a lot of these things with Kanye that come up. And I feel like this interview is almost a blueprint to the album and understanding a lot of what was going on in Kanye's mind.
It was so funny that just really quick, you know, Chris and I weren't totally clear on what the narrative of the album was. And we've slowly discovered it over time. And reading this interview, like it almost feels like we should have just read this interview at the beginning because we're discovering pretty much everything we've discovered along the way.
Yeah, it was very reinforcing because when we discovered it, we were just like, this has to be what's going on, right? Right? It's just too much. And then you read the interview and you're like, oh.
That's exactly what happened.
That's great. So the guy asked him at one point, when did you think that you hit upon a sound? And Kanye said, basically when Jay decided that would be my sound. I had Timbaland sounding beats, Primo sounding beats, and it was really the more Nashim sounding beats, the one that Jay clinged to for the blueprint. My friend Aaron always used to say, you can't really be an established producer until you got a sound. I used to just be good at doing beats, but everybody else's style beats. They weren't really that creative. And then he said, it wasn't that well thought out. I was trying to bite the way people make beats to get my shit better. And then I got better. Then when the Blueprint came out, I kind of took the soul sound and mixed it with the Neptune style drums, like the drums off of Explosive on the Chronic album. And that became my sound. And then he gets asked, when did you start formulating ideas for College Dropout? I guess, well, when I said that rap mayonnaise colored Benz, I pushed Miracle Whips for Jay, I was about 21 years old. So you could say then, the last line you hear on College Dropout is the oldest line. So I call that the beginning. And the very next question, I was wondering whether your car accident focused your music. Relevant. It gave me the chance to really focus on my music. That was the first time in my career when I could tell people I can't go to the studio with you. And people weren't tripping because at that time I was an established producer. Everybody wanted me to go to the studio to work on their music. And they didn't even take it seriously when I said I was going to work on mine. But when I had the accident, my manager had to tell him I couldn't go. They were like, okay, he almost died. But instead of resting and trying to recover, I was sneaking into the studio to work on College Dropout. I already had it, but that's when I started to master it. That's when I went over to Jamie Foxx's and wrote slow jams. When I wrote the chorus and Jamie Foxx sung it, I don't think I even had the Michael Jackson line at the time. And the follow-up question, so did the accident happen at the end of the writing? I wouldn't say it was the end of the writing, because think about when the accident happened and how long it was before the album came out. The accident was 2002, just for context. I went back and respat everything. The only thing that had the original vocals on it before the accident was Breathe In, Breathe Out. There's a bunch of new lyrics, more polished. I went back line for line, tried to improve on it. I'm really meticulous with my lyrics. And then he said that after the album leaked, he went on and put more songs and respat it. The guy asked him, did the accident focus your mind in terms of what you wanted to communicate? And he said, it opened up that side of me. I already had All Falls Down and Jesus Walks, all completed with the same lyrics. But I wrote Never Let Me Down after the accident, Spaceship, School Spirit. So I already had that vibe. It's not like I had the accident and became a conscious rapper afterwards. I'm not really a conscious rapper. I'm just a regular person, and regular people have a conscience. And there was one more thing in here. Did you want to tell a story with the album as well? Not from start to finish. I think it definitely has a thread, a storyline that holds the album together. I just tried to put it together well. Some people say they have a problem with the skits. Then breaks off to talk to the designer about logos.
So, like, basically what we're hearing here is there was the College Dropout before, you know, the kind of music he was being told to make. You know, he didn't find a sound until Jay told him, like, oh yeah, that's it, because, you know, Jay knows what's going to be popular and what's going to get people going. But it really wasn't about Kanye finding a sound. And then post accident, that's when, you know, he was compelled to refocus everything, to really think about the kind of music he's making, and made Through the Wire, and then respat everything and rearranged the album. Like, this is the exact storyline we've been talking about this whole time.
There's just something to the idea of him trying to discover what it is he needs to do. Yeah. And then the accident happens and he's able to do it.
You know, the best part of this is that he changed everything but Breathe In, Breathe Out, which is the most bullshit song he made. And he was like, well, if I really want to keep it as bullshit as possible, I'll just leave it unchanged, because I was the kind of music I was making back then.
Yeah. That is pretty amazing. Like, everything else, he's like, I need to improve this. I need to make it something different. And then he looks at Breathe In, Breathe Out, and he's like, nah.
You know what? That'll work.
Yeah, that's okay. So we have all that in mind. Just going into the album, going into Through the Wire and what that means. Should we look at the samples?
Ooh, two good ones.
Yeah, so we start off with the primary sample, which is Chaka Khan's Through the Fire. So we look at the first verse and we get, I look in your eyes and I can see we've loved so dangerously. You're not trusting your heart to anyone. You tell me you're gonna play it smart. We're through before we start, but I believe that we've only just begun. When it's this good, there's no saying no. I want you so, I'm ready to go. And this is not the first time Kanye has used a romantic soul sample.
Or the second, or the third, or the 50th. It's up in the hundreds, I think.
Yeah. But the soul sample and the lyrics still aren't just picked willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. You look at what we've talked about with the story, and that Kanye had tried to enter the music industry in that middle portion of the album, and that it wasn't what he hoped it would be, and he wasn't making the music that he wanted to make. And then we get that reset with all the skits and school spirit coming back into two words. And now he is making this big dedication in Through the Wire that, like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, nothing's going to stop me, not even this fucking car accident. There's something so fitting then in the first verse about, like, we're through before we start, but I believe that we've only just begun. When it's this good, there's no saying no. I want you, so I'm ready to go. So it's like, we tried to do this one time and it didn't work, but, like, nah, there's more.
Yeah, it's Kanye, again, you know, he does this so much where the romance from a song is used as a metaphor for his relationship with his career. Like, he does this a bunch. And while I think it's always impressive, I think sometimes it can be a little one note. Like, it's kind of obvious that's what he's doing, and it doesn't need to carry any more meaning than that. But here it carries, like, a multitude of meanings because of what you just talked about. You know, the whole album is about Kanye embarking on the world and creating meaningful music. And it's not easy for him to make that kind of music. Like, it isn't easy for anybody. So he goes on this journey to find a sound. So it really is like a real life human to human relationship. So the sample feels like Kanye's not just fighting for his life, but fighting for what he can accomplish with his life. Like, on this album, that means living so you can make the kind of music that makes a difference. Like, it just feels so, like, it's so much more meaningful.
Yeah, than just like, man, being a celebrity can be hard. Yeah. Right. And in that second verse, it gets more into it. I know you're afraid of what you feel. You still need time to heal. And I can help if you'll only let me try. You touch me and something in me knew what I could have with you. Now I'm not ready to kiss that dream goodbye. When it's this sweet, there's no saying no. I need you, so I'm ready to go. Like, that idea of the dream and, like, kissing the dream goodbye, that plays into not just the car crash and surviving the car crash, but playing into the initial, this is being dramatic, but, like, car crash of his foray into music that we saw with Get 'Em High, New Workout Plan, Slow Jams, and Breathe In, Breathe Out, where he's just desperately trying to make music that people want and it's not working so well.
Yeah.
But he's catching fire.
Mm,
catching fire. And one of the cool things, you talk about the samples maybe sometimes being one note. It seems that there might be a playoff of another sample that's used, which is the drums from Player's Ball by Outkast. It's beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I prep. I was about to go in depth. This is the way I greet my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept, to say the least, no, it can't cease. So I begin to piece my 2 inches. Which, in that song, you have the hook being all the players came from far and wide, wearing afros and braids, kicking them gangster rides. Now I'm here to tell you there's a better day when the Player's Ball is happening all day, every day. And we know that Kanye really cherishes Outkast and looked up to them. There's something about the idea of him fighting for this relationship with his music and the music industry, and the idea of Player's Ball and being somebody that's pulling up to the Player's Ball, mm-hmm, and getting to be part of everything in the industry. And that's essentially what we hear him fighting for on Last Call, is let me rap. Let me be a rapper. Like, I can do this. And Through the Wire was the song that made that possible, because it just showed he wasn't going to stop rapping. It caught everybody's attention. And it's almost like him inviting himself to the Player's Ball.
Yeah. That's really cool. It reminds me of what we were saying, you know, the difference between two words and through the wire. Two words is the landscape, like, you know, the what you need to accomplish on a broader macro leadership level. But Through the Wire is a song about finally thriving in that environment. And that's what Players Ball is. It's about feeling empowered in your environment. You know, just because you live in the ghetto, as the song talks about, it doesn't mean that you can't be like the king in your ghetto. And that hook from Sleepy Brown that you're describing, it's saying, you know, there's a better day when the Players Ball is happening. Like, you can be more than a gangster in the ghetto. Like, you can do more. And it's about becoming something more than what the world expects you to become because you live in the ghetto. That kind of applies to what Kanye does on the album, who's tempted to make the superficial kind of rap because he thinks it'll connect with people more, but then he learns what's important.
He does learn what's important, doesn't he?
The more you know.
So those two samples, I think, set up that those layers of meaning that really make Through the Wire, like, that just add to the energy and the context of it, which is really... It was already present, but just seeing how he reinforces it with the samples is really cool.
It's fucking crazy.
And that's what he does all the fucking time.
I know. It still floors me, though.
I saw a tweet the other day from somebody saying, like, while I really think Kanye's overrated, it's like, how can you overrate Kanye when people still don't even understand that he's doing all of these things that he's doing?
That's so crazy.
One day. One day Kanye can be overrated. Yeah. But it's, by God, it's not today. Well, shall we get into the lyrics?
Yeah, let's do it. They can't stop me from rapping, can they hop? I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now, man. I gladly risk it all right now. It's a life or death situation, man. Y'all don't really understand how I feel right now, man. It's your boy Kanye Titter. Shutdown, what's going on? Yeah. I drink a... All right,
so we start with the ad lib, yo G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop? But it's G Robertson and Kiambo Hip Hop Joshua, who, thank you to Genius for letting us know, are heads of hip hop since 1978, the management and production company that originally signed Kanye West in 1998 and negotiated his signing to Rockefeller Records.
Oh.
Just giving a shout out to his managers at the time. Yeah. And one of the things about this song, the version that we hear on the album was actually not the OG recording from him in the hospital, right? Mr. Asia, the Israel's back to wizard. How can you console my mama, give her life support when you're telling her son on life support? And just imagine how my girl feel on a plane, scared as hell that a guy looked like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal. But then we get the chorus coming in, through the fire, to the limit, to the wall. For a chance to be with you, I'd gladly risk it all. And immediately this is contextualized by the intro, right? If we didn't have that intro, you might need a minute for that context to set in about what he's talking about, but like, they can't stop me from rapping. And then you get through the fire, to the limit, to the wall, for a chance to be with you. Yeah.
There's suddenly that's actually kind of amazing bit of storytelling going on there, because, you know, as we noted, there's an older version, and then the old version of Through the Wire, none of this kind of ad-libby in studio stuff is really happening. You're just getting the sample and you're getting the verses and that's about it. But here he really is both telling a story about how he rose back from the crash, which puts you in the moment where he's creating the songs. And that's the second story, him actually creating the song, being in the studio, feeling inspired. And both of those stories relate back to his crash. It makes it much more personal and intimate, like literally putting the listener in the studio of somebody who has had this life-changing revelation.
There's a duality to the song in that way that's really cool. Just this idea that there was the initial version of it, and that presence is still there of this kind of iconic and defining moment for Kanye. But then you have the Kanye in the studio later after the accident, reflecting on it and being able to add these aspects to it that just go on to further develop what he was talking about and set the mood.
I mean, we talked about this before the show, but if you listen really close, it really does sound like there are moments where you can hear two Kanyes, which was once just a dream for me and now is a reality. this is probably speaking to my ignorance of music. Like, maybe this is really common, but I did listen back through College Dropout, and I noted moments where he has his own voice layered on top of himself to create effect. But to me, it's very prominent in this song, and it's kind of just an aesthetic of the song. You can kind of hear it throughout. So in the lines like, how do you console my mom or give her light support comes in. Like, it doubles. Like, there's two Kanyes there. And at first, I knew I was going down like a fucking Reach rabbit hole even bringing this up. But I don't know. It gives those words extra power. And I don't know if it's intentional, but it could mean a number of things. But to me, it exemplifies two versions of Kanye. Like, maybe it's the Kanye who lived and the Kanye who died, or maybe it's just like, you know, the Kanye version before the accident and the version of Kanye after, who wants to do more of his music. It kind of feels like both elements of Kanye are there aesthetically because he has the song produced this way.
You can listen through lines and hear just the individual voice.
Yeah.
And then hear sections where the two voices are going together overlaid.
Yeah.
And there's just a little bit of distance between the first and the second to where you can hear the dual nature of it. And then it goes back to this individual voice saying a line or two, which now that I've heard it, I adore it.
You can't unhear it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And that might just be a byproduct of him re-recording everything. Like, maybe the reference that he was using just couldn't be banished, or maybe liked the duality once he heard it and was just like, yeah, let's keep it, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there, and that means that we either need to just look at it as an artifact and ignore it, like, okay, it's just part of something, we shouldn't talk about it, or look at it as an artistic choice and try to place it into what it means.
We're watching The Throne. We're going to read the fuck into it.
That's right, right? And that duality would seem to play into it. Like, there's arguments to be made, as you said, about the Kanye that lived and the Kanye that died, or the previous version of Kanye and the new version of Kanye. Like, they're aligning or something. You can
something.
Probably come up with, like, any number of serious or cheesy meanings for it, but it's at least present and should be considered in some way.
Yeah. According to us, anyway.
According to us. Bum, 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 bum. So once the first chorus finishes, you get the over chorus, which I've never even heard that phrase before, but
I like it.
And Kanye comes in. I spit it through the wire, man. There's too much stuff on my heart right now. I'd gladly risk it all right now. So he's interpolating some of the lines from Chaka Khan. It's a life or death situation. Y'all don't understand how I feel right now. It's your boy, Kanye Tutha.
Hey.
Which, hey, right? Like, that's iconic in spawning the Kanye Tutha message boards.
Yeah.
Chi-Town, what's going on? And even here, he's calling out Chi-Town, right?
Yeah.
Always reppin'.
Always.
Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, an inshore for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzard. Not to worry, Mr. Ace of the Izzles back to wizard. How do you console my mom?
So then we start with the verse, where it's kind of a cryptic beginning, right? Like, they can't stop me from rapping. You don't really know the car crash has happened yet.
Yeah.
And, like, what's on my heart right now? Like, I gladly risk it all. How are we in this life or death situation? It really does build up a bit of tension for the first time you're hearing it.
Yeah, if you don't know about the accident.
Yeah, right. And then I drink a boost for breakfast and Ensure for dessert, which boost was just the meal replacement drinks.
Yeah, I feel like I remember those commercials from back in the day. Yeah. Shoulda, coulda, woulda had a boost. Wow, that caffeine's quite an upper, but you'll never last till supper.
When you shoulda, coulda, woulda had a boost. Boost, the nutritious, delicious anytime. And Ensure I used to have in high school because I was like, oh, protein. Which, the Ensures aren't real sources of protein.
You're still like that. You're always making those protein shakes.
I love protein shakes. So, but the key thing is he's on a liquid diet, right? He can't chew food. Somebody ordered pancakes. I just sipped the scissorp, which is where that comes from. Like, he couldn't actually chew the pancakes. And this could be a reference to, what year did this song come out? The 2000 song, Sippin' on Some Syrup by 3-6 Mafia.
Sippin' on Some Scissorp. Sippin' on Some Scissorp. Sippin' on
Some Scissorp. A pimp, not a simp. Which, that song, I don't know if we're actually going to go into all of the lyrics, but it gets more at more the media-defined gangster lifestyle of just, like, drugs and indulgence, like, sex, money. It's just funny that, like, Kanye is just sipping, like, syrup that he needs.
It's definitely because... a contrast between that song.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's being set up. Like, he's just sipping scissor, which is probably just his medicine, and while everybody else is getting to have the pancakes. So you can see it as simple as, like, pancakes and syrup, or as simple as, like, these other rappers are getting to live this lifestyle, and here I am laid up in bed. And that right there could drive a sane man berserk. And just the idea that only being able to have syrup when everybody else is having pancakes, yeah.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind.
That's some bullshit. If it was French toast, then I'd be on board with you. I would be going insane.
French toast is the best toast.
What's your stance on waffles?
I love waffles.
They're all pretty good. I don't discriminate any of them.
Are there people that hate waffles?
I think that's a common debate. I feel like pancakes or waffles. I just ask if we could somehow get a pancake waffle sandwich going.
Yeah. Have you ever had a waffle sandwich?
I've had chicken and waffles, but not a waffle sandwich.
Waffle sandwiches are pretty bad for your heart, but pretty delicious.
You know what? I've never been much of a chicken and waffle guy. It sounds amazing, like it should be good, but I've never discovered one that really knocked my socks off.
All right, next time you're in Austin, man.
Is that the chicken place?
There's a lot of good chicken and waffle places around.
Okay, yeah. I want to find it.
Yeah. We'll go. So not to worry, Mr. H to the Izzo's back to Wizerk. So he had released H to the Izzo at this point, having produced that and a lot of other tracks in the Blueprint. And he was just saying, you know what? I'm making music again. Back to Wizerk. How do you console my mom? Or give her light support. Telling her son's own life support. And just imagine how my girl feel. On the plane, scared as hell that a guy looked like Emmett Till. She was with me before the deal. She been trying to be mine. She a Delta, so she been throwing that dynasty sign. No use me trying to be lying. How do you console my mom or give her light support? Telling her her son's on life support. The light support is such a strange line.
Yeah, that's I just chalked that up to early Kanye. Like, he needs to get the rhyme of life support. And while, you know, saying you're giving your mom light support makes sense technically, I guess. Like, you can give somebody support and it can either be heavy or light support. Like, eh, she just needs light support. Seems like a weird phrase. You wouldn't think she just needs light support here. There must be a better way of saying it, but he just needed the rhyme.
Right. And maybe he is being like, how do you console my mom or give her light support, telling her son's on life support?
Oh, that's
like,
true,
can't you
yeah.
do better? Like, there might be a reading of that, but still, I think just encountering or give her light support, it always throws me a little bit.
Yeah. But I still appreciate it and back it with all of my heart and soul.
And the main thing is that we're starting to go from it's scene setting again, right?
Yeah.
It's first like what he's dealing with. And now looking at what the people in his life are dealing with, like, how did his mom, like, react to this? And we still don't know it was a car crash.
Right.
So it's still kind of this dramatic thing. And just imagine how my girl feel on the plane, scared as hell that her guy looked like Emmett Till. Emmett Till being one of the most famous cases of racial brutality. In 1955, he was allegedly whistling at a white woman. And these guys just came and beat him to death. And the pictures were released. And it stirred up a lot of conversation then about civil rights and racism in America. And that went a long way to causing some change. But yeah, the pictures of Kanye's face that you see from the time and his face just swollen and his eyes almost closed. It is dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get his girlfriend, who we've heard about throughout the album, just being on the plane, being scared that she was going to, like, come across something awful. She was with me before the deal. She'd been trying to be mine. She had Delta. She'd be throwing that dynasty sign, which I like a little bit of the callback to school spirit, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Where you get like Delta step, Omega step, etc. But now here you get the idea of the Delta mixed with the dynasty, like throwing up the diamond that Rockefeller did. It's kind of a mixing of worlds.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think that on school spirit, that's probably something we should have covered, the fact that the dynasty sign is tied to fraternity life and sorority life, and how Kanye is kind of, you know, in school spirit, he's not trying to become part of an actual fraternity. He's kind of building his own, and in a way, by using the dynasty sign, he's doing that.
Right. Like, he's becoming part of Rockefeller.
Yeah, I love it.
And here he reflects on that a bit as well. So he goes from reflecting on like her and her fears to her being a Delta to like the dynasty sign to him trying to be signed. No use me trying to be lying. I've been trying to be signed, trying to be a millionaire. How I used two lifelines in the same hospital with Biggie Smalls died. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. Story on MTV, and I ain't trying to make a band. I swear this right here, history in the making, man. I really apologize.
And I like that because you could see it as kind of this jarring transition, but you know, when he's thinking about his mom and his girlfriend, again, you think of him just kind of being in the studio and spitting these lyrics, and then he comes back to this self-reflective moment, like, I was trying to be a millionaire. Like, he is bringing in these other people's perspective into his own story of his rise to the top and becoming the kind of rapper he needs to be.
And in that time, he's used two lifelines, yeah. Which on the show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?, contestants would have three lifelines. It was poll the audience, 50-50, and phone a friend.
That's what it was back in the day. There's a lot more now.
Yeah, they went wild with it now.
It was crazy.
But back in the day, the pure, perfect version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You know, nobody's won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire since like 2009.
Isn't that insane? Like, they really got some top-notch people putting these questions together.
Yeah, they're like, hey, insurance agents. Or like accountants, you ask these questions and just make them hard. My goodness. So how I use two lifelines, it just gets to the idea of, and not just this accident, but it turned out there's an interview he did right before the crash where he actually talked about being in a previous accident that was like could have been life threatening. So this might be a reference to the fact that that previous accident had happened and then this even worse accident happened. And those were his lifelines, or the other one could just be some other point in his life.
Right.
But he doesn't have many left.
Or he does, because he'll never die.
Never. But he seems to be aware of that mortality with the next line, in the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died. So he's very aware that whatever hopes and dreams you may have, whatever like ambition as a rapper, you could end up in the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died and like Biggie like expire there. So very much aware of how thin the margins are in this lifetime. But you can see the mixture then of his experience and how he keeps bringing in hip hop contexts into what he's going through. With that Delta to the dynasty sign, with I Just Sipped the Scissor and 3-6 Mafia to being in the exact same hospital as Biggie. Like, he's very aware of both worlds colliding. The doctor said I had blood clots, but I ain't Jamaican, man. A blood clot, I think we talked about this in another episode, is Jamaican for, it's just an insult in general. But Biggie had used it on other songs, and Biggie being Jamaican, it's just a continuation of the idea of being in the same hospital as Biggie Smalls died, and that Kanye literally had blood clots. And then Story on MTV, and I Ain't Trying to Make a Band. Making the Band was a big MTV show at the time. That was started by P. Diddy, right?
Mm-hmm. Love that show.
But also Kanye being at a point where his story's on MTV, kind of a... I wonder if he's counting that as like an achievement. like, hey, I'm at a point where like my car crash is good enough to make it onto MTV.
Yeah, he talks about it being televised later.
Yeah, I swear this right here, history in the making, man. So he's very aware that like this is, as you said earlier, his origin story.
Yeah.
And just a note, when he initially had the line in the same hospital where Biggie Smalls died, it was actually in the same hospital where Biggie and Tupac died. But because they died in two different hospitals, had to be changed. So then we get the chorus coming back in.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
I apologize to everyone right now if it's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. But I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, though. Yeah. Turn me up, yeah.
After he set up this whole verse of something awful having happened to him and being in this hospital and on the brink of death, like you get through the fire to the limit to the wall, coming back in, like, you know, for a chance at loving you, I'd take it all the way, right down to the wire, even through the fire. And then he demystifies the whole thing with the with the next over chorus, just more contextualizing through the speech. We still don't know it was a car crash. It imbued this song with a lot of mystery.
Yeah.
So verse two, now Kanye goes even further back. It's no longer the immediate what's going on, but he's now telling his story.
What if somebody from the shadow was ill, got a deal on the hottest rap label of Brown? But he wasn't talking about coke and birds, it was more like spoken word. Except he's really putting it down. And he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in a game. Good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time, in the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt.
What if somebody from the shy that was ill got a deal on the hottest rap label around? But he wasn't talking about coke and birds, it was more like spoken word. And right there he starts to set up that dichotomy between what's his sound versus everybody else's sound. I mean, that's something that we've seen shown on the album up to this point, but it wasn't something that he just outright spoke on.
Yeah, I mean, it really calls back to the interview. He literally had people telling him what his sound should be.
Yeah. They're like, you know, stop doing that. This is your sound. So coke and birds, I mean, coke, the drug, and bird is British slang for women, in case you ever wondered. Not just Kanye being a ornithologist. I don't know the actual term.
Nope, we're going to go with that.
Yeah. It was more like spoken words, so that his music's more like poetry, except he's really putting it down. And the spoken word, it's funny because we heard in the interview him talking about how he didn't have Never Let Me Down on the album till after making Through the Wire.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and sought out Jay Ivey, who was a poet, and had him do a whole spoken word verse for Never Let Me Down after having thought about this or like written this.
Shit, so, man. You give me those chills we talked about earlier.
Chill you to the core and then warm your heart.
And then I go into shock.
The combination is too much for any man. So we get this next two lines, and he explained the story about how blacks came from glory and what we need to do in the game. Keep in mind, Kanye has been referring to himself in the third person at the start of this verse. So we went from the first person being used throughout all of it to him now talking about himself in the third person, which gets back to that duality, right? We're actually seeing him stepping away from himself to comment on himself at the start of this verse, where if you wanted to put that back to the two voices being told, you could maybe start to make that argument.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting because he is talking to that third person, but in a few lines we'll see him go back to first person and again start talking about his very specific micro situation of getting over this crash. So all of these lines at the beginning almost feel like they're mythologizing Connie and mythologizing the whole journey he's gone on, and on how, in two words, he kind of discovered, you know, he needs to be that kind of leader.
And then even that he explained the story about how Blacks came from glory, you can kind of trace that back to what he was talking about on We Don't Care and All Falls Down and Spaceship and Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down. There's this idea of like, we can achieve, we can be better. And that plays into what we need to do in the game.
Yeah.
Like there's this opportunity and there's this potential for us. And he continues on, good dude, bad night, right place, wrong time, which kind of seems to borrow the two words flow a little bit. In the blink of an eye, his whole life changed. If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. Thank God I ain't too cool for the safe belt. I swear to God, drive a 2-1 or 2. I got a lawyer for the case to keep us in my safe. Safe, my dogs couldn't terrify. If you could feel how my face felt, and this is where we go back now to the first person, his whole life changed, and then how my face felt. There's something interesting going on there. Like, his whole life changed, and then we go back to the first person, and he's talking about the crash in the past tense, where the first verse was the present tense for a lot of it.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff. But I think that his whole life changed, and if you could feel how my face felt, going back to the first person, again, not to harp on the dual voices, but that almost seems to explain the dual voices, if you want to go that route.
Yeah, and it really gets at like perspective, too, because Kanye's song can be inspiring to you in so many ways, because you can have this outsider perspective where you look at Kanye, and you're like, man, look at that guy doing it. Like, his whole life changed. He had to change everything about himself. And then Kanye putting himself in the situation from a first person perspective. So kind of going from that outsider, like, ooh, like, look at that guy go, to, okay, now we're going from speculation to, like, this is what he was going through. Like, this is how we got to the point. I think you're kind of getting at it. It's kind of hard to put into words, but there's something really powerful about that. And it feels like avant-garde to me. Like, that's not a normal way to tell a story, yet it all flows the same. Like, all one story is being told the whole time.
Yeah, this is a weird comparison, but it reminds me of the Big Lebowski.
All right.
And that you have Sam Elliott telling us the story about the dude. And he, in that way, mythologizes Lebowski, being like, now the dude was a man that blah, 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 blah. And coming in at key points to kind of give this third person context. But then you actually follow Lebowski and get Lebowski the character throughout most of the movie. It's so bad calling him Lebowski. You follow the dude throughout most of the movie, and it's very personal in that way. So you get that dynamic between the mythologizing that Sam Elliott does versus the very personal engagements that you get from the dude himself. So it's funny just hearing Sam Elliott describe him, and then you actually see the dude being like, I don't give a shit, man. Like, my rug, like, what the fuck?
It's just,
like,
your opinion, man.
That's a better quote. I feel like you could see something maybe sort of similar happening, which is Kanye's use of third person before going back to him being like, yo, if you could have feel how my face felt.
Yeah.
And that his whole life changed, having both that positive and negative energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be negative just in the fact he was in this crash, and that's very affecting, but it can be positive in that we know that it galvanized him to go and do bigger and better things.
Yeah.
If you could feel how my face felt, you would know how Mace felt. And you get Mace and Betha shouted out, which on the I'm Good version of Through the Wire, that's there. On the album version that we all probably know, it's not there. But Mace and Betha is the real name of the rapper Mace. So this plays in a couple ways. One, you just get the double entendre of Mace, the tear gas, being sprayed in somebody's face versus Mace, the rapper, who Bailey Sassong commented on Genius once got in a confrontation with Ghostface Killa, and Ghost broke Mace's jaw. So he was not feeling good then.
No.
Either way, it's pain on your face.
That's the name of his autobiography.
Pain on Your Face, the story of Mace. But then Mace also ended up leaving rap late 90s to become a minister. So you get Kanye just having that nice follow-up to You Would Know How Mace Felt, Thank God.
Yeah.
Just playing on the idea how Mace became religious. I ain't too cool for this safe belt. So this might be the first time that we start to realize it was a car crash, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Again, if you didn't know before.
Yeah, almost everybody knows, but if you're just, you know, somebody that's just picking up the album now, you might listen to it and be like, what? And then I Swear to God, Driver 2 Wanna Sue. And right there you get Driver. I got a lawyer for the case to keep what's in my safe safe. Safe, my dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise on Vanilla Sky. It was televised. It's been an accident like Geico. They thought I was burned up like Pepsi did Michael. I must got an angel, cause look how death missed his ass. Unbreakable, what you thought they call me, Mr. Glass? Look back on my life like the ghost. My dogs couldn't tell if I looked like Tom Cruise in Vanilla Sky. So Vanilla Sky is what, a 2001 Tom Cruise movie?
Around then, yeah.
Where Cruise is in a car crash and his face gets mangled. And at some points he's wearing like a Phantom of the Opera style mask. And he has facial reconstruction that doesn't quite go as well. It's a whole thing. But like the car crash is a defining moment in the movie. And Cruise's ugly face is a huge element.
That is a feat of that movie. They made Tom Cruise look ugly.
Yeah. Doesn't happen too often.
No.
He's a beautiful man. And so it's just another Kanye movie reference. But you then get the line, it was televised, which could just be why. Like, you may wonder why that's coming out. Like, does it just refer back to what he was saying about MTV? Or saying it was televised, there's been an accident like Geico. But just the phrase, it was televised, brings up Gil Scott-Heron's piece, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. That could be a stretch to make the comparison. We know that Kanye references Gil Scott-Heron on Late Registration and then again on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy with Who Will Survive in America. So Heron's work or Scott-Heron's work is definitely something Kanye was aware of, but it might be a big deal to draw the comparison to it was televised to The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. But a few things in The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. There's a lot of references. So especially to TV, The Revolution Will Not Be Brought to You by the Schaefer Award Theater and Will Not Star Natalie Wood and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The Revolution Will Not Give Your Mouth Sex Appeal. The Revolution Will Not Get Rid of the Nubs. The Revolution Will Not Make You Look 5 pounds Thinner Because The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. So a lot of plays on television personalities and commercials for products. And in this portion of Through the Wire, you get Geico, which had the commercials, right, for auto insurance. And then They Thought I Was Burnt Up Like Pepsi Did Michael, which pyrotechnics went off when Michael Jackson was filming a commercial for Pepsi, and it ended up burning him. And he had second and third degree burns, which ended up seeming like it would have an impact on Michael for a while. So a TV, two TV commercials are referenced and a movie with a silver screen celebrity in Tom Cruise. And then Kanye has I Must Got an Angel because look how death missed his ass, which is something he refers to on Never Let Me Down, right? An angel looking out for him. Unbreakable, what, you thought they'd call me Mr. Glass? Another movie reference. The villain in Unbreakable, played by Samuel L. Jackson, is Mr. Glass, who is the counterpoint to Bruce Willis's Unbreakable character.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just see maybe Kanye starting to bite a little bit of the tone and style of The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
Sure.
While playing into the idea that this revolution is televised because he's a celebrity and he's at this point and it's being talked about, but this is a revolution. That's kind of the third point.
Right.
Like Kanye already said, his whole life changed. So I don't think it's all that much of a stretch. Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past. Toys R Us where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up, I'm a grown ass kid. Swear I should be locked up for stupid shit that I did. But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, spit my soul through the wire. Look back on my life like the ghost of Christmas past, which is kind of what we're getting in this song as well. Toys R Us, where I used to spend that Christmas cash. And I still won't grow up. I'm a grown ass kid. And that seems to call back a bit to We Don't Care as well, right?
Sure.
Like, We Don't Care, he talks about like kids sing. Was it supposed to make it past 25? And that he's this like grown ass kid. It also, we could look forward to him on St. Pablo saying that he's a 38-year-old.
Yeah, and that's what Ye's all about, right? Like becoming a kid again and kind of rediscovering yourself.
It's cool to see even the seeds of that idea showing up here.
Yeah, and it also just kind of perfectly captures who Kanye is. You know, his whole speech about like if a kid jumps on a table and starts dancing and singing, like don't tell him to get down, just let him be a kid. And Kanye just wants to be a kid, man.
Yeah. With the next line, you could maybe read that there's a negative perspective on it, like swear I should be locked up for the stupid shit that I did. So following that flow of like thinking about Toys R Us and being like an actual kid spending money at Toys R Us to aping the Toys R Us tagline, like I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Were you in those commercials?
Yeah, I was the giraffe.
Oh, wow.
So you have Kanye, and I still won't grow up, I'm a grown-ass kid, swear I should be locked up for the stupid shit that I did. This idea of being immature could be how you read, and I still won't grow up, I'm a grown-ass kid, rather than something like innocent and empowering. But we know that as Kanye develops and the years go on, that he starts to look at that ability to not grow up and stay a grown-ass kid as something very meaningful. And something far more empowering than maybe the line like I should be locked up for the stupid shit that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a champion, so I turn tragedy to triumph. Make music that's fire, spit my soul through the wire.
Yeah, man, it's such an amazing like climactic conclusion to everything. Spit my soul through the wire, like calling back to Through the Fire and how that song was really inspiring him when he was on the hospital bed. Like it all just gets to this moment at the end, beyond like, you know, just like the actual lyrics, like aesthetically and the power of it, it really climaxes.
Yeah, it drives it home at that point. And just that he's in this reflective state and then just cuts it off and is like, no, I'm a champion, like I turn tragedy to triumph. It's such a mission statement, like make music that's fire, spit my soul through the wire, boom. Yeah. That's what I do, that's who I am.
Damn straight.
And then when you have the chorus come back in at that point, oh my god.
Yeah, chills. You know what I'm saying? When a doctor told me I was gonna have to have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, don't you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. She can't be serious, man.
And then you get the last outro over a chorus. Jesus, I feel like Genius makes some of these things up. You know what I'm saying? When the doctor told me that I was going to have a plate in my chin, I said, dog, don't you realize I'll never make it on a plane now? It's bad enough I got all this jewelry on. You can't be serious, man.
Recalls the All Falls Down video.
It does recall the All Falls Down video.
A little bit of humor at the end. That's nice. You know, you have this life-changing moment, and then you you downplay it a little bit.
And still kind of brag a bit, like, I got all this jewelry. And then we go off into family business.
Ooh. Ooh, here we go. Things are getting real now.
That's going to be an interesting discussion, because you could almost imagine that this would have been the last song.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it then that we go from the heights of Through the Wire, not right to Last Call, but have family business come next?
Yeah, you and I have not discussed it yet, so I don't have a good theory. But I mean, I will say that back in the day, I know Family Business is adored by Kanye fans, but it's never really been one of my favorite. But now with all this context and with what you just set up, you know, because Through the Wire is this thing that feels conclusive and climactic, to go into Family Business and to think of how humbling that song is, I don't know, it feels purposeful to me. It feels like Kanye's really pulling back and looking at his environment and the people around him and what's important to him.
I mean, especially in the wake of what we saw in the mid portion of the album, where it was just the superficial stuff, to look at it now going to family.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to what Ye does, right? Like in the beginning of the album, he's, you know, both of his personalities are really tugging at him and he feels like he's losing control. And then by the end of the album, he gets better by being better to the people in his life, by thinking of his wife and his daughter and remembering the people that put him in the better place to control the other side of himself.
And we see a similar thing on The Life of Pablo. And we see a similar thing on Yeezus. So yeah. It seems Kanye has a penchant for ending with the connection to somebody that like grounds you and gives you like direction.
Yeah, I love it.
I wonder, they might be reading into it a bit much, because it's bad enough I got all this jewelry on, could just be a funny line. But the contrast between him talking about all this jewelry and then getting into family business, you kind of go from like bullshit ice wrap attitude to more of that conscious, like, this is what's truly important.
Yeah. Yeah. That, or he's just making a joke.
Or it's just a joke, you know? Can imagine somebody hearing me say that and shaking their head being like, you can't be serious, man.
Come on, Lambie Lambert.
Lambie Lambert. I have not heard that one.
Baby Lamb Lambert.
Baby Lambert, I heard.
Oh, okay.
That was a nickname for a little bit.
We went to Sundance. What were you being called again by our mutual friend? Is it Lambie?
Lambs? Lambie? Might have been Lambie.
The Lamb Chop?
Could have been Lamb Chop.
Whatever Laura calls you.
Chrissy Lamb.
Chrissy Lamb. That's it.
That's what it is. Chrissy Lamb.
That's a good one. We might have to start using that one in the description episode notes for the show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chrissy Lamb.
I don't know. I think it's just a path you could go down.
It's there.
Jay-Z's changed his name. P. Diddy's changed his name a bunch. You could become Chrissy Lamb.
That's the name that finally empowers me to go do something more.
Something, you know, more than this show?
No. Just like in a blink of an eye, my whole life could change.
Okay.
You know?
I don't, because I have the perfect name. But yeah, if you need that, go for it.
How dare you? Oh, anything else?
No. Thanks for listening to the show. I know there's a lot of fans of Through the Wire out there, and hopefully we did it justice. And if we didn't, sorry.
Yeah, if you felt like we missed something, tweet at us, at Kanye Podcast, and we'll discuss.
Yeah, we'll respond within minutes.
Hopefully there was some new insight you got from this, and then you can find other ways to interact with us on our YouTube channel and also on our Club Kanye, private Kanye Club, where we curate Kanye discussions.
Stay tuned. We're doing a lot of cool shit on there.
Yeah, and also stay wavy.
And loopy. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.